Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. There's a war being waged, but there's very few videos or pictures of it. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is October 30th, 2013. Thanks for joining us today. This is our final article of October. It is a business article. You can find it on pages 42 and 43 in your Advanced magazine, Heroes in the Cyber Battle. And I said at the top of the program that there is a war going on right now that you really can't see, that you don't have any videos on the nightly news or any pictures on the internet you might see of this war that is taking place. It's a battle that's taking place in cyberspace, and that's why we have that title, Heroes in the Cyber Battle. And there's a lot of activity that's going on. That is not really the best activity that's happening on the internet, and it involves everybody, because there's a lot of people that want to get your information, want to get the information of companies, and it's all about disrupting systems and getting people's information and money. So fortunately, there are also people who are helping to try and prevent loss of information, loss of money, and that's what we're talking about here today and tomorrow. Well, joining me in the studio, I've got two panelists. And first, off to my right is Rebecca Krushnitsky. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, everybody. Happy to be on the program.
Great to have you here today, Rebecca. Now, as far as in your own experience, have you ever had maybe your email or any other account hacked?
Actually, fortunately, I've never got any of my accounts hacked, but that's not yet. A lot of my friends have on Facebook or even on Gmail, they've got their accounts hacked.
Yeah. Okay. Now, sometimes that might involve, for instance, you'll get an email from them. Maybe somebody has like used their email account and starts sending out some crazy emails to everybody on their address list. So, have you ever received anything like that from maybe one of your friends? You get an email that clearly they didn't send.
Yeah, actually, more and more now.
Yeah.
Recently on Facebook, I've had a lot of friends who had their accounts hacked.
Right.
And a lot of times, they'll add you into really strange-looking groups, and you go in and go, why did my friend invite me to buy luxury brands or something like that? Yeah.
You know, that's funny, because I have been added to a lot of strange groups lately, too, and I don't even know what's going on. Like, why am I being added to all of these groups, or why do people want to do that? So,
maybe we can ask David.
Yeah.
I think he's quite experienced.
We're going to ask David Mao. He's also here in the studio. David works in our IT department. And David, have you been added to some crazy groups on Facebook?
I have been on Facebook, and it's actually not exactly hacking, but it's more like they didn't have their security level set correctly for the personal account.
Okay.
So once you have that set up correctly, you won't have your name list, your address book, be leaked.
Okay. Is there a danger? I'm just talking about these groups I've been added to. Is there a danger to being added to all of these groups?
It's not exactly a danger, but it's more of a hassle, because you have to go back to your personal security profile and check what has been unchecked or checked.
Yeah.
As for your personal data, I would just say that one of your friends on your Facebook has leaked their address book.
Right.
So it's from the address book you're being added. And if your personal security profile isn't correctly set up, your address book will also be leaked.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, now, we are talking about hacking in this article as far as security break-ins, with whether it's companies or individuals, and also trying to prevent that. With your work here, is it something you've had to deal with here?
On a daily basis, yes.
On a daily basis?
Yeah, well, because I oversee a lot of company websites, so there's a lot of attempts to go through our security holes.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we haven't had any break-in yet.
Yeah.
But I think back in 2004, 2005, when I first came into the company, there was a small breach, and but it wasn't anything critical.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a Excel file that wasn't there was Excel file with name list and email address, mm-hmm. and that's it. But it was misplaced on the web server.
Okay,
that was a company staff info.
Yeah,
so that was leaked. No, it wasn't actually leaked. It was just public.
Yeah,
it went public on our company website for some time.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now this is something that seems to be happening on a regular basis. People are trying to hack into all companies. For instance, like here. Then why are people doing this?
There's many reasons. Some people want to learn about hacking skill. They practice on the internet.
Right.
Some people want to find out if there's any business secret.
Mm-hmm.
That was leaked on the internet. Some group are considering that, okay, since you are you're in the internet business, you may have a customer database
mm-hmm.
on the internet. So they want to hack into that company customer database to get the personal data, email, address, maybe even financial data.
Mm-hmm.
That's their main purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's we'll find out a little bit more about this as we go through this article, some of the reasons why hackers are trying to do this. And we're also going to be looking at a couple of people who, had done what David had talked about, practiced hacking, actually were doing it maybe as a semi-professional. Mm-hmm. But then now they've kind of changed sides and they're actually helping companies to avoid being hacked into. So we're going to meet these gentlemen in this article and talk about what they're doing to help prevent loss of information on the internet. So turn to page 42 and we will break our reading down into two sections today. The first reading will be the left column.
Heroes in the cyber battle. In the war against cyber attacks, these hackers wear the white hats. He's 26, likes industrial and electronic music, has a bleached blonde mohawk haircut, and sometimes, Mikhail Davidoff said, he starts his day at the crack of noon. The late hours are in front of a computer, working on reverse engineering, tearing apart computer programs to find their vulnerabilities. These days, the front lines for security don't only include soldiers carrying weapons. They include computer whiz kids like Davidoff, who works for the Leviathan Security Group. Cyber attacks are costing corporations and consumers a lot. In a 6-year span starting in 2005, data breaches in 33 countries, including the U.S., cost the firms involved more than $156 billion, according to the nonprofit Digital Forensics Association. The Associated Press reported that Living Social, an online deals site, said that its website was hacked and the personal data of more than 50 million customers may have been affected. Names, email addresses, date of birth of some users, and encrypted passwords. That makes internet security a booming industry at an estimated nearly $1 billion a year in 2012, according to the consulting firm Frost and Sullivan.
Heroes in the cyber battle. And so what does our deck say there, Rebecca?
In the war against cyber attacks, these hackers wear the white hats. We have a very interesting term here, white hats. Basically, it's almost like white here connotates good. Well, we'll see later, black is kind of like not good or evil. So what is white hats? White hats are hackers who are employed by companies, and basically their job is to help the company check the security system and make sure that there's no loopholes, like David was saying earlier, where outside hackers can break into the computer's system and then maybe steal information. Okay. So that's what the white hats are.
The good guys.
The good guys,
like
yes.
the Lone Ranger wearing a white hat, preventing yes. crime, right?
Yes, yeah. You can kind of think of the white hats as the angels. You know, they're wearing yeah. white. Well, of course, somebody who's not an angel would be someone who's wearing black.
Darth Vader.
Yes, yeah, like Darth Vader.
Okay. All right. Now, David, how do we start our reading?
He's 26, likes industrial and electronic music, has a bleach blonde mohawk haircut.
Mohawk haircut? What is a mohawk haircut?
Well, the mohawk came from the American Indian English. So it's the hairstyle that's really radical. Mm-hmm. It's like a... the crown of the rooster.
Yeah. Hair sticking up in the middle.
Yeah. Right? Hair sticking up in the middle.
In fact, we actually have a picture there on page 42 of the top of the right column that you can see that blonde hair sticking up. And Rebecca, I see guys like this sometimes. And since you are a female, I have to ask you, do you find mohawk haircuts attractive?
Okay, this is my personal opinion. I think mohawks look a bit rebellious.
Yeah. Would you go out on a date with a guy?
They look
like that?
A little dangerous.
All right. Take them home.
Personal preference, I don't think I'd introduce them to my family. Yeah, it looks a little scary, actually. But but I might befriend him.
Okay. All right. Friends, but that's about it.
Draw that's the about line it, there. Probably.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ixnay, no dating, and, you know.
Probably not.
Meet the parents.
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who is this guy, David?
Well, Mikhail Davidoff. This guy starts his day at the crack of noon. He works for this security group. He's the senior security consultant that checks computer programs, does the reverse engineering of many different programs to find out what their vulnerabilities are.
Okay. Now, that's his name, Mikhail Davidoff. And first off, we've got several terms to explain here. And what about this one right there in line 4 and 5, Rebecca, starting his day at the crack of noon?
Yeah, at the crack of noon means around noontime, just
yeah.
about right before noon.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like this guy likes to sleep in.
Yeah.
So he probably works very late hours. So that's
right.
why he doesn't start work until almost noontime.
Right. So normally we would say at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
Right? Which you probably get up at the crack of dawn.
Well, at Studio Classroom, we do kind of work early.
Right. So we get an early start.
So yes, usually we use at the crack of dawn. That's a more common saying. And with at the crack of dawn, that also means just around the time of dawn, right before dawn.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're kind of being funny here. The writer's being funny by saying at the crack of
at
noon.
The crack of
this
noon,
guy's
yes.
rolling out of bed about 12 o'clock.
Yeah, so most people have yeah. been working for a couple hours already.
Yeah, and there is a reason, because he is up. He does work late hours. He's up late at night. So, you know, the guy probably does work maybe till 3 or 4 a.m. And it's just a different schedule. There's a reason he's on this different schedule, because maybe that's when he works best, and he's got to work for clients overseas, things like that. So he is just on a different schedule. He's working on reverse engineering. How would we describe reverse engineering, David?
Reverse engineering, in the computer term, would be looking at computer programs and going backwards to figure out what these program – how the program are written.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any looking at the detail parts, what different aspect it can be,
mm-hmm.
and then looking at maybe there's loopholes or vulnerabilities
Okay, we're just going to break it down, tear it apart.
Yeah.
And now we use the word vulnerabilities, Rebecca.
Yeah, vulnerability is basically a weakness, mm-hmm. and that can be physical, emotional, mental, and it's a weakness that people can attack or exploit.
Yeah. Okay, so we see here in the next line nine, that these days the front lines for security don't only include soldiers carrying weapons. Now, front lines, normally in a war, in a battle where there are armies involved, that's the very front where the battle is taking place. The soldiers are up front engaging in battle, but this is not necessarily a physical battle. It's an intellectual battle that's taking place on computers. So now we see in line 11, they include, who do they include there, David?
They include computer whiz kids like Davidoff. Now, whiz kids are, it's a term describing youngsters who are interested or very talented in particular field.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is really, we've had a proliferation of whiz kids here just in the last 5 or 10 years just because of the availability of gadgets, iPhones, tablets, laptops. So it's kids are growing younger. They have access to technology, so they're really learning. They're growing up with this technology. So we do have a proliferation, a wide expansion of whiz kids. So what about the cost of cyber attacks?
The cost of cyber attacks can run very, very high. Mm-hmm. Basically, here we have a study saying in 2005, from data collected in 33 countries, including America, the cost to companies was more than $156 billion. That is a lot of money. This is money lost because of cyber attacks.
Yeah. And it could take the form in many different ways, access to credit cards, access to bank accounts, access to all sorts of types of information. It's really difficult to calculate that term, but it is big as far as the amount of money. And we see the term data breach. That means when there is a loss, when outsiders can actually access, they find a crack in the security system. That's a breach, and they can get into the IT systems of companies. So, and we see that cost is huge. And this is according to the nonprofit Digital Forensics Association. And that's an interesting word there. It's one of our specialized terms, David. Forensics. How do we define that?
Well, it's a scientific method to solve crime. It involves examining objects and substance that's involved in the crime.
Okay. Now, do you ever watch CSI?
I do.
That's forensics, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they walk in and they find one strand of hair.
Yeah.
And they solve the crime. They can pick that hair out, look at the DNA, and they realize Rebecca Krushnitsky was the person who was here and stole all the money. Right?
Well, CSI does make forensics look very glamorous.
Yes.
And I'm sure in real life it's a lot of hard work.
Much more tedious work than all the cool people on CSI make it. They make it look easy. So, all right. Now, we see here in line 19, we learn about one example here, don't we?
Yeah, we have an example of a website called Living Social. And here in this example, we see that it was hacked. And the extent of the damage was more than 50 million customer data was stolen. And these include names, emails, date of birth, and even passwords. And here, these passwords are actually encrypted, which means that maybe you make your password very difficult, so it's hard for people to crack it. Like instead of just putting my password as Rebecca, I use all number and letter signs to make it much more difficult.
50 million customers. That's a lot of information. Now, what can they do with this information that they got?
Well, if they have the financial data available already, they can use that to portray as the original user and use the credit card information to buy stuff. Or they can start a new credit card application with these existing customer data.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically
Well, that's interesting what you say. They can start a new credit card application.
Yes, because they have almost everything that they have,
mm-hmm.
name, maybe even social security number, date of birth, maybe even mom's maiden name, stuff like that.
Right. Okay. All right. So by accessing this information, it can open up a whole bunch of problems for people then. Okay. And this is what makes internet security a booming industry, which has grown to nearly $1 billion a year in 2012. That's according to the consulting firm Frost & Sullivan. Okay. Let's have our second reading for today.
Keeping the black hats at bay. Another white hat hacker is Adam Cecchetti, 31, who used to work at Leviathan and then in 2010 became one of the founders of Deja Vu Security. Davidoff and Cecchetti are on the front lines of fighting off the black hat hackers. Yes, that is how they describe their enemy. The latter includes those sending out phishing emails that look like they came from a legitimate source, but are fakes, trying to get your passwords and credit card information. For the white hats, their unique skill at finding where a program is vulnerable and how to close the digital doors that the black hats use to penetrate a website is worth $120,000 to $130,000 a year. Chad Thunberg, Chief Operating Officer of Leviathan, said.
Keeping the black hats at bay. What does that mean, keeping somebody at bay?
Well, keep them away.
Okay. All right. Keep them at a safe distance. Now, who do we meet in this reading, David?
Well, it's another white hat hacker. His name is Adam Cecchetti. Who used to work at the Leviathan?
Leviathan. Right, that's the same firm that Mikhail Davidov is working for.
Yes.
And then?
And then now he started his own company called Deja Vu Security, which actually is in the same business.
Right, okay. So he just went off and started his own business, figured he probably could. There's any number of reasons somebody would do it, maybe to make more money, do their own thing. Deja Vu, though, that's kind of an interesting name, isn't it, Rebecca?
Yeah, déjà vu means all over again, and it's a term from French.
Mm-hmm.
So déjà vu means all over again security. So I guess this is something that happens quite a lot,
right.
And it happens over and over and over. So the name seems quite fitting.
Yeah, if you have déjà vu, you feel like you've experienced this before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, even though maybe you haven't even been there before. You might go to a place you've never been before, but you think, oh, this is like deja vu. I feel like I've been here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in the next paragraph, we see Davidov and Cecchetti are on the front lines of fighting off the black hat hackers. And we did talk about the different colored hats, white hats, black hats. And yes, that is how these guys do describe their enemy. So now in the next paragraph, we find out a little bit about this group, we say the latter, the black hats. And what are some of the things that they do? What is included?
Well, it includes one thing that's talked about in the article is the phishing email.
Mm-hmm.
It sends out fake email that look legitimate so that you maybe they'll tell you that this is from the county office.
Right.
We'd like to get your tax ID.
Mm-hmm.
You provide your tax ID and then they use that tax ID to do something bad.
Right. So phishing is going to be emails that I might get in my mailbox. It's identifying itself. For instance, I might, like on Hotmail, I often get this stuff.
Yeah.
It says from Hotmail or Hotmail Services or Customer Service or something, but it's really not.
It's not.
Yeah, but they're asking for some information.
Yes.
That your account's going to be closed if you don't give us your password or update your password, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
another external link to another website.
Right.
That's also phishing for your information.
Okay. All right. So, and now it looks like it came from a legitimate source. What's that mean?
Legitimate means the real source, like
mm-hmm.
the real thing. Like, for example, talking about Hotmail, if you get a legitimate email from Hotmail service provider, then this is really being sent by Hotmail.
Yeah. But, and then what's the opposite of legitimate?
if it's not legitimate, then it's probably illegitimate or it's probably fake.
Okay, so we would just add another IL in front, illegitimate, to say, well, these are illegitimate emails, the phishing ones. All right. So for the white hats we see here in our final paragraph for today, their unique skill at finding where a program is vulnerable and close to the digital doors, this is something that's kind of lucrative for them, isn't it?
It's an extremely lucrative job. They're worth at least $120,000 to $130,000 U.S. a year. And if we kind of wonder why is it so lucrative, I think it goes back to the fact that Internet security has become an extremely important industry.
Yeah.
And it's something that would just continue to grow because as more people give information online and there's a lot more business transactions being done online, then Internet security becomes even more important.
Yeah. Well, David, what do you think? Is that information accurate?
It's actually pretty accurate. It's probably the baseline salary.
Mm-hmm. Baseline salary. You mean the low?
The low.
So it's on the low end. People can make more out of it.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Have you ever considered going into this business?
Actually, back in my college years, there was a class that talks about this. And if you take that class, it's something about judicial system because you're kind of like a forensic specialist. So if you do take that program, from my understanding is that one of my college friend who took the program, his starting salary was $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Quadruple jumped within 5 years.
Okay. That's all attractive. Sounds great. What's a drawback?
24/7, lots of legal terms that he needs to understand. Mm-hmm. There's also, he quit the job within 6 years because he actually worked for the state. Yeah. End up working for the state, and there are many, many inside stories that just tore his hearts apart.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The reason I mention that is a lot of times people just look at the number without really understanding what's the whole picture like. And so there's a price to pay.
Yes, there's a big price to pay.
Well, it's a very interesting story, and we will pick up with that story tomorrow. Listeners, thanks for being here today. Come on back then. We'll see you.